Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, today we are going to talk about a topic I've not discussed before, and that is resilience. As a patient safety advocate and a caretaker for my mom for 9 years, and as a businesswoman, I've seen, heard, and been through some pretty harrowing life-death experiences and some devastating business crises. So how does one bounce back and keep going during traumatic times like these? Resilience. Resilience is the ability to roll with the punches. When stress, adversity, or trauma strikes, you still experience anger, grief, and pain, but you're able to keep functioning, both physically and psychologically. And right now, I have just the guest to help us with this conversation. She is Maureen Metcalf. Maureen is the founder, CEO, and board chair of Metcalf & Associates, and is a highly sought-after expert in anticipating and leveraging future business trends to transform organizations. She has captured her 30 years of experience and success in an award-winning series of books, which are used by public, private, and academic organizations. And for years, she has been willing to share her hard-won insights through conference speaking opportunities, industry publications, radio talk shows, and video presentations. Maureen also is a regular contributor to Forbes.com, among a long list of other outlets. She lives and works in the Columbus, Ohio area, not too far from me, and I am happy to share her wisdom with you today. So welcome to the network, Maureen.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's an honor to be here, and I appreciate getting to talk about such an important topic.
I do too. But before we dig into that, I want to also share, because I forgot to mention it, that you and I met when you so graciously decided to air your podcast called Innovative Leadership on our network, Speak Up Talk Radio. So you can always tune in and hear more of Maureen after today's conversation. And you do such a great job with those. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you. I really appreciate not only do you air them, but the charity that you're associated with.
Thank you. Yes, our pillowcase project has been going on since 2010, and seems like a strange thing when you tell people pillowcases, but you would not believe the response when we deliver them to homeless veteran shelters or women in children's homes. They're just so delighted that some stranger did something for them, and they don't even know who these people are. So thank you for participating on the network.
You're welcome.
All righty. So Maureen, you suggested the idea that we talk about resilience today, and I'm going to ignore a cardinal interviewing rule, and I'm going to ask you a two-pronged question. What exactly, for you, is resilience? What does that mean? And why do you think it's important to talk about?
So we talk about it as being flexible and focused. And so if we think from if we think about a bridge or a building, if how much disturbance can it absorb before it collapses? For humans, if we think about the same thing, how much frustration, disruption can I absorb before I'm no longer effective? And then the converse is, what's the vision of what is possible for me if I am more able to navigate, kind of ride the wave of complexity and challenge rather than hitting a wave and getting upended?
Now, you specifically work with companies and organizations, but within these companies and organizations are individuals. So, you know, everyone really needs to think about resilience. And I kind of concerned because we seem to be living in a time when society seems like they encourage and glorify people being a little bit frail. You know, in school, everyone's a winner and they get award in schools. And if they don't like the outcome of the presidential campaign or the presidential election, they're encouraged to stay home and rest and skip exams. And is this something that teaches resilience, or is the idea of caring for oneself first an integral part of attaining resilience?
You know, it's an interesting balance. And the word that comes to mind is anti-fragile, and the book by Tlaib that talks about how do we have built-in capacity so we aren't fragile. And so part of that is, if we think about when we cook a spaghetti noodle, uncooked, a little bit of stress causes it to break and shatter, depending on the brand of noodles and if they're organic and stuff. A little bit of cooking, they are able to move, they're pliable, and we like them, for those who like spaghetti. And if they're cooked too much, they're mushy. And similarly with human beings, if you have no capacity to deal with stress, then you have to stay home when you don't like something that happens. We're all winners. If we learn to deal with stress, we have the capacity to adapt to flow with it. We've got good practices that allow us to stay in the game when something goes wrong, and especially for leaders. If I'm following someone, I want them to appear as if I can trust them. They're not going to collapse when something goes wrong. And yet all of us need to manage our stress level and have practices that allow us to rejuvenate offline so that we don't turn to mush. Because it doesn't matter how competent and smart someone is, when they have too much going on, at some point, they're going to drop the ball.
So you're saying that resilience really is not the ability to escape unharmed, but it is how you react and behave after the harm or after something that's just a little bit too much.
Yeah, I would say none of us escape life unharmed or unimpacted, right?
Right.
And I don't want to sound pessimistic, but stuff happens. I just went through helping my mom transition out of her home with Alzheimer's. Mm. And when I say helping her transition, really it meant I was taking her out of her house because she was no longer able to function. Incredibly difficult to take the mother who had raised me and basically, in her mind, throw her out of her house and move her into some warehouse where they put old people, right? So my objective was keep her safe, but her perception was I was the most awful person in the world. There's no way to go through the things we go through in life, whether it's aging of parents, children getting sick or hurt, something happening with a partner, something happening in our work lives. How many people, what the percentage is, like 90% of us will lose a job at some point in our career. And generally not because we're poor performers, because the conditions change. So all of us will experience significant disruption. The question is, what do we do with it?
Well, first let me say, I'm so sorry about your mom. I know how that must hurt, and you need to be resilient. And when I think about caretaking, I also think about caring for yourself as the caretaker and the physical aspects of that. If you don't take care of yourself physically, then there's nothing much left that you can do. So let's talk about the physical side and resilience and how those two are connected.
So we break resilience into four categories. So I'm going to say this and then go back to physical. So one is managing your physical well-being. One is managing your thinking. The third is your emotions. And in that, I would also put your spiritual health if you are a spiritually oriented person. And then the fourth is your connections, your relationships, and those people who help you. So physical, you know, at a minimum, we need to eat well. We need to feed and care for our bodies. So am I eating, sleeping, managing my caffeine intake, says the woman who was drinking a cup of coffee during the interview in the afternoon, manage our alcohol, and also take time for to recharge, so doing things that we care about. Like for me, it's being out in nature and spending time with my pets and my partner.
Yes, and good thing you're drinking coffee and not the alcohol, right?
Yeah, it's 3 in the afternoon. So.
All right, that's good. Yes, and that sounds very basic. You think, okay, I've got to eat well, but it's a simple thing to forget to do or to think I'll do it later, and you know, you lose sleep, and all of those things affect you physically. So I'm glad you're bringing this up. So now let's talk about the thinking side and resilience.
So often we can't manage the physical as well as we'd like, right? There are times we're not going to get sufficient sleep, and it is just the world we live in. What I can do is manage my thinking. So think about the whole mindfulness focus and taking time out to teach my brain to focus, just like I would on the physical side. I would go to the gym and exercise, or I would do my 10,000 steps a day, or whatever the physical piece is. Many people who would never consider, those of us who wear Fitbits, wouldn't consider it a complete day if we walked 300 steps when the goal is 10,000. Yet, the same people who are getting physical exercise and attending to it don't necessarily think that we should do the same mental workout as we do physical. And so that is either a breathing practice or a meditation practice or a mindfulness practice that allows us to get back control of our thinking. So a couple of things. 5 minutes of negative thinking can cause 6 hours of physiological negative impact. So cortisol, think when you are driving down the street, there are cones out, the lane ends, and there wasn't a good sign, and you have a near escape, which actually happened to me today. The fight and flight hormones that kick in, right, to keep us alive, mm-hmm. happen. How do I then dissipate those and return back to a sense of balance, so that I'm not abducted by the things happening to me physiologically? And part of that is having a very strong practice of managing my thinking, knowing that I have to take a couple of deep breaths, reconnect, think of what I'm grateful for, think of the positive in my life to help just manage the hormones. So I'm not an expert in mindfulness, but I do have a practice. And it does involve regularly breathing, visioning, gratitude, and being aware enough that this thing just happened and I need to reground and reconnect, whatever that means for me. So it means taking a few deep breaths, feeling my feet on the ground, and before I get back in the car, making sure my head's back in the game.
So it's a lot about reframing, trying to work to change your focus and your perspective, because your perception really does become your reality.
So think about days you've gotten up and it's just, you didn't sleep well, you have something on your mind, it's a big deliverable, or you've got an employee you have to reprimand, or your child just did something and you have to talk to a teacher about their behavior, whatever the thing is. And you start the day out feeling a little challenged and a little negative, and how that negativity permeates the day versus when you start a day thinking you've gotten enough sleep, you feel rested, you're looking forward to something that's exciting during the day. That whole day can feel different because of what you're thinking just when you get out of bed in the morning. So how do we reframe when that negative thing happens or that challenging thing happens so we can go back to having a more positive experience through the rest of our day? So it is reframing.
Mm-hmm, it is. So now this is somewhat then connected to your emotions. And so let's go with that, because I think about people who are feeling stress or grief or anxiety and loneliness. You know, how does that play into the thought of becoming a resilient person?
So thank you for saying that. If we think about it, living in a physical body, my emotions, again, I something happens and I'm frustrated. That immediately impacts I have that negative thinking. So I have a feeling. That drives my thinking and it drives my physiology. So being emotionally intelligent, I have to be aware of what I'm feeling and or what I'm thinking or what's happening in my body. So when I notice that I am hunched over and I start to get a headache, that's one of the things that happens for me is headache or stomach ache. Then I have to step it back and think about what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. Since I am less attuned to my feelings, I pay attention to the headaches and the stomach aches. And that gets me back to what am I feeling. And then I can unwind, what am I thinking? So it is all very interconnected. For some people, they're aware of their feelings quickly and they can manage. And it's a similar back to the mindfulness and reframing. If I can catch when I'm having I'm frustrated or angry, especially, or scared. What are the thoughts with that? And how do I reframe back to what's the positive? What's the good outcome? What are the good things about this person? So I'm at least going into any interaction with a balanced perspective. So if someone's all bad, we shouldn't be working with them. Mm-hmm. Most people have goods and bads, and our brains are wired to focus on the negative because our brains are wired to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. So this is where the neuroscience comes in. So if I've had a negative interaction with someone, my brain is 8 to 10 times more likely to find the negative because it wants to keep me safe. So now I have to manage that brain and that natural way of preserving my safety and do the reframing actively to keep it balanced so I'm not abducted by my thinking, which is going to then impact my emotions.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you just said you're instinctively wired to protect yourself. And so that's the reason why you might approach another person with that negativity, just to say, I'm not going to get hurt or they're not going to do this to me. That is very, I have to give that a lot more thought.
Thank you for saying that. This is one of the things I've learned, and it's one of our interviews, is with Gary Weber, a brain researcher, who talks a lot about how much we operate, like 99% of what we do is habit. It's our brain doing what it's wired to do, mm-hmm. and if we're not doing mindfulness exercises and managing that thinking, we are likely to be on autopilot, and autopilot doesn't have us functioning as our higher self, because autopilot is about staying alive, staying safe, mm-hmm. not the vision of the best version, but more middle to lower, the Maslow hierarchy is safety, mm-hmm. some of those things. And that's where my brain is functioning. If I am not actively doing some of this higher order processing.
Oh, exciting work. Yes.
It is. It's amazing what's possible. And yet most of us are focused most of our time on doing our job, mm-hmm. getting to the gym, cleaning the house, making sure we're fed and things are maintained. And yet there's this brilliant research happening. And even if we spend 10 minutes a day doing these kind of practices, it can really change our life experience and the impact. And while I work with leaders, it's impacting caring for family members. Right. It's impacting caring for ourselves, for our kids, for what we do in our church communities or soccer leagues. Everyone benefits when we invest in ourselves, and yet we're often taught invest in others first, not self first.
True. Very true. So now we talked about physical, the emotional side, the thinking side. Obviously, all of this then takes us to our relationships. And we can't avoid relationships unless we're a hermit. So let's talk a little bit about the relationship side of this.
As we think about resilience, when all else fails, reach out. So if I'm struggling, so the example of my mother, because that was one of the most difficult things I experienced, the person who helped me with that was my best friend. So Carla and I, when my mom threatened to call the police on me, when she threatened to kill herself, all those things that people do in that worst moment of their lives, she was there with me to go through this with me. I don't know what would have happened if I had to do that alone. So cultivating friendships, cultivating those professional and personal relationships, you know, for those people who are lucky enough to have a happy marriage, it's often a spouse. Or people who look to other people in their lives, a trusted colleague. It's why Gallup talks about having a best friend at work, that we need to have those relationships where people can support us during the most difficult moments. You know, we talked about reframing and managing our thinking. Who is the colleague that when I'm struggling with something, I can talk me through that experience I'm having, because even though I coach people and hopefully I'm brilliant in doing it, in my own life, I'm not brilliant. I am succumbed to all of the human foibles, and so I need people to remind me of these practices and of who I can be in my best self to accomplish the good in the world that I'm trying to do, and for each of us, the good we're all trying to do.
And as you're saying that, I'm thinking it's also important then to be a person who's there for others. So when they need that shoulder to lean on, that they can count on you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of people I've reached out to, just a simple text or an email or something, and I never hear back from them. Mm-hmm. Yet when they lose a job, I'm an early phone call, right? At some point, you have to put it in the account before you can withdraw it.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. That's why I mentioned that. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about resilience, that it's very constant and it's probably ever changing with your circumstances. So you seem like a highly resilient person. And then you get hit with the situation with your mom that tests your resilience. And so you've got to pull back and draw back on all that you know. So it really is something important to cultivate in case that big situation comes along where you need that practice even.
You know, this is why we talk about daily practices, and we have a free assessment on the website, and it's at www.metcalf-associates.com. I'm just going to jump into this specifically because there's an assessment. So for any of the listeners who wants to see how am I doing now, and if there's something you score low on that you want to focus on, best to focus on it when you're not in crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I need to do when I'm in the middle of the worst events of my life are to try to start to build a resilience practice. At that point, I'm struggling to make it through the day. And I would say that this is true for all of us, mm-hmm. that we build it while we are feeling good. And then it's there when we're struggling.
Absolutely. Yeah, I tell my listeners on my patient safety radio program to pack a hospital bag ahead of time, because when you fall down the flight of stairs or, you know, you're in the ambulance, you're not going to be thinking clearly to pack it. So this is a very similar type of a situation, is be prepared ahead of time. Absolutely. So we talked about physical, emotional, thinking, relationships. I think we can tell, but let's talk a little bit about how all of these elements of resilience are connected to one another.
So think about all of these happen in my body. So if I'm not, this happened yesterday, I went on a bicycle ride, I'm dieting. I didn't eat enough before the ride, and it was, the end of the ride was really difficult. I was literally shaking, which makes me not as clear in my thinking, makes me a little more emotionally volatile. So in our bodies, if we're not attending to the basic physical stuff, what we know is our thinking is actually less clear. If I'm not drinking enough water, my thinking is less clear. If I'm not sleeping enough consistently, I have the capacity of someone who's intoxicated. So physical, if we're not taking care of the basic stuff, and I don't mean we always have to stop and have a nice meal. We actually rode our bike by a McDonald's and got chicken nuggets. I usually have protein bars in my car. So I assume most of our listeners are leading incredibly busy lives, and so having trail mix or something when we haven't eaten. I can't necessarily get the sleep, but I can manage food and nutrition and having a bottle of water. That physical impacts my thinking and my ability to be a clear thinker. So thinking then impacts my emotions, and my emotions impact my thinking. And we've talked about the 5 minutes of negative thinking create the impact on cortisol in my body, the stress hormone. So it's either a vicious cycle when I'm not doing it well, or a virtuous cycle when I am. So things we can do, taking a few deep breaths, thinking of our most happy moments. So that can be the day a child was born, the day we got married. For me, it's also things that are in my daily life. My dog, I love my dog. How do I put myself, when life puts me in a bad spot, how do I reframe, take cleansing breaths, let go of the stress, come back to a place that's healthy and happy? Thinking of time with my partner, Mike. Those are things that make me feel comfortable and safe and recharged. If all else fails, or proactively calling a best friend, again, call my partner, Mike, call my best friend, Carla, pet my dog. How are those things that I feel not alone? And I think often, again, physiologically, when things are going badly, we can tend to feel like other people don't get it and they're not feeling the same thing. To reconnect and reframe allows us to feel like we have support to positively navigate through the challenges we're facing.
So we're talking about this as if it's something fairly simple to do. I mean, we can all take care of ourselves physically and emotionally and, you know, work on our thoughts and breathing and meditation and our relationships. How do we really go about building resilience? I mean, is it really something that is possible to cultivate if, say, someone listening has never really given this much thought?
So one, take the assessment and see where you are falling short. But are you getting enough sleep, drinking enough water? I mean, there are things we can do that you don't have to spend a bunch of money on. You don't have to go off to week-long workshops. We know what our bodies need. Do that, right? Physical, sleeping, eating, healthy. Get outside, get in nature, walk. So physical. Managing our thinking. Do you have a gratitude practice? There's, I think, a TED Talk that talks about spending 5 minutes a day writing down what you're grateful for. You know, on a bad day, it's simple stuff. I have enough to eat every day. I'm worried about dieting, not starving. We have clean water in our house. Many of our listeners are in the United States. We have so much good that unless you have just been in a flood or a fire, many of us, our basic needs are met. And we have the luxury of time to invest with family and hobbies. There are things we can do in the thinking, in the emotional space, paying attention. This meditation, if it's just counting your breath from 1 to 50 once a day, that's about a 5-minute practice. Doing that every day, morning and evening, gratitude, morning and evening. As I'm driving into work, what do I aspire to? So what is the best version of myself? What does that look like? And how do I aspire to that as I go into work, as I come home from work, or my time with my family or my friends? And then at the end of the evening, what am I grateful for? We can cultivate these things, and it's not like I have to take an hour out of my day. It's as I'm in the shower in the morning, as I'm driving to work, or walking to work, or biking to work, as I'm coming home from work. What did I do well? What am I proudest of? Who do I want to be end of the night as I get into bed or as I'm brushing my teeth? Building these simple practices in and doing them militantly and religiously. Then when I talk about building the bank account, we've got it there and we have a solid foundation. So on the day when something goes wrong, I've got the ability, my neural pathways in my brain are accustomed now to going to what am I grateful for? What is my happiest moment in life? I can switch. I can reframe. If I've never done that exercise, I can't do it when I need it.
Absolutely. Well, we have talked a lot about a few different items here, how folks can take care of themselves and build that resiliency and have that bank account, as you say, so when they need it, they can call on it. Is there anything we missed that you feel is important to discuss today?
You know, I think we hit it. We hit the four buckets. We hit practices in each. The thing I would say, again, just to recap, look at all four areas. If there's anything you are woefully short on, over time, right? Getting enough sleep matters. And many of us don't have lives that are constructed in a way that that's not an option. How do we over time move toward more balance, more balance in our emotions, more balance with our physiology, more balance with our friendships, more balance in a sense of purpose and spiritual health. And don't be discouraged when we're not there now, but continue to strive toward building the bank account so when we need it, we have it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you. So you mentioned your website before, but let's do that again. So I want folks to know where they could go to learn more about you. And you have books and you just have a lot on your website. So share a little bit about that.
Thank you, Pat. www.metcalf-associates.com. And the banner on the bottom of every page has resources. So one of those is the free online resilience assessment. And do not worry about taking it. We are not going to hunt you down. We're not going to put you on a spam list. We're not going to call you at home, none of that stuff. We want to make these resources available to as many people as possible because the healthier our community is, and community broadly, the better world we live in. So we really do want to make resources available. So please use that. There are, if you go to the blog and search resilience, you'll get radio interviews, you'll get blogs. There are tools on all kinds of health-related things on the blog. So bounce around and see what would be useful to you.
Absolutely. I spent some time on your website as well, and your blog and your podcast. And I want to say that again. It's Innovative Leadership is the name of your podcast series, and it's available on our website, on your website, and iTunes all over the place. So the website is metcalf-associates.com. Sign up for that resilience assessment on there as well. Well, Maureen, before we head out, any final words?
Pat, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to do the interview on resilience and for all the work you do to make interviews available for the Pillowcase Project and for your work and your radio show. It just together we make the world better.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Thank you for that. I'm so happy we met, and I'm always honored to be able to air your podcast on the network. And today's conversation was just outstanding. Resilience, it's going to give me a lot to think about, and I know our listeners as well. Maureen Metcalf, metcalf-associates.com. My friend, thank you so much. Maybe we should do this again some other time as well.
Thank you, my friend. I would love to. Absolutely love to.
And bless you and your mom. Give her a hug from us.
Thank you. I will.